Blog Talk Radio.
Soldier, where we come and share the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Yes, we should always be grateful. He who is faithful in a little will be faithful a lot. Well, he who is grateful in a little should be grateful for a lot. I praise God for this opportunity to be able to come forward and talk about God's word, for surely it is nourishment to our spirit. Let us open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. We thank you, Father God, that you have never left us or forsaken us. You have always been there. Truly, we should be grateful. Father God, I just praise you that as I get ready to share the word, Father God, let me decrease and let the Holy Spirit increase so that it may accurately deliver the message that you want us to hear today. Helping us to be able, Father God, to build our spirit, to be an Olympian man, Father God, in the spiritual realm, to be able to go forward, Father God, and be bold, Father God, like John the Baptist, and have courage like David, and have faith like Abraham. For we thank you, Father God, that you will guide us and direct us. And Father God, those out there who are listening as well as myself, let us have a heart to receive, Father God. Let us have a heart to believe, Father God. And let us have a heart to go forward once we got this knowledge, Father God, to share the good news of you to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I'm excited. I'm pumped up. Despite what's going on in the world, I'm still fired up because God is good. So today's quote goes like this: one who conquers the sea today is ready to conquer the ocean tomorrow. And another one is, we don't develop courage by being happy every day. We develop it by surviving difficult times and challenges and challenging adversities. And the tests we face in life journeys are not to reveal our weaknesses, but to help us discover the inner strength. We can only know how strong we are when we strive and thrive beyond the challenges we face. And the scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And see, people, we don't have to be anxious because 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And in Philippians 4:6-7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now I'm reminded of a story and all the pandemic issues that are going with this virus. I believe the pandemic issue regarding toilet paper. I was told by a friend of mine who's a Catholic, he said, a drunk staggered into the Catholic church, entered into the confession booth. He sits down, but he says nothing. So the priest called a few times to get his attention, but the drunk continued to sit there. Finally, the priest pounded on it three times, bam, bam, bam. And the drunk finally mumbled and said, ain't no need of knocking. There's no toilet paper on this side either. And then another friend told me about a story when we were in Iraq, and he said there were three prisoners who were set to death for their crimes. Each prisoner was brought up for one at a time to the firing squad. The first man was up, and the captain began to shout, ready, aim, fire, and the prisoner shouted out, tornado, and everybody ran to cover, and the first prisoner got away. The second prisoner came up, and the captain said, ready, aim, fire. Thinking quickly that the first prisoner got away, he yelled out, Tusami, and everybody ran for safety, and the second prisoner got away. Then the third prisoner, however, was not the brightest bulb in the shed. He saw how the first and the second guy got away, so he figured he'd do the same thing. So he went up, and the captain said, ready, aim, fire, and he shouted out, fire, fire. So the moral of the story is, when crisis comes, we got to be wise stewards. That's why the word says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Those who don't have the right knowledge base, especially with God's word, can get fired on. So the subject of the day is, what kind of faith do we possess? Head faith or heart faith? Panic not, because God has never forsaken us. With all the challenges that are happening in the world at the present time, it would appear that everyone is in a worldwide panic, where leaders around the world are feeling the strain of not having the knowledge to deal with this virus outbreak. Thus, when the leaders of the world are compromised, the followers who are not grounded in God's word will react to the such crisis in the same fashion of being fearful and unpredictable. However, we must consider why we become compromised when we're in a situation such as crisis or pandemics or challenges that arise and we're not prepared for. Well, we fall into that fear like an uncovered manhole because we're not paying attention. Why does this happen? Many times because of our level of faith is compromised. Where our faith should be higher, but more than not, in many cases, it fluctuates like the mercury in the thermometer. Well, let's take a moment to examine what happens with us when crises arise. Consider that we all like to believe that we all walking in the measure of faith that God gave us. For the scripture tells us in Romans 12:3, for I say it, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, that not that he think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God's have dealt to every man a measure of faith. Here the scripture tells us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but think soberly, thoughtfully, based on our faith, the measure that God had given us. In other words, our head faith or ego shouldn't cause us to think highly of ourselves. For the faith that God gives us is faith of the heart. Thus, many times our understanding of what faith is based on our knowledge and experience, information passed from the senses realm and not the spiritual realm. Now, Dr. Bishop Leonard Scott points out this concept of head faith and heart faith when he states that head faith is senses and evidence-based driven. Here, we can see this in John 20:24-27, when our brother Doubting Thomas, despite walking with Jesus for three or more years, he was more into the head knowledge faith versus the heart knowledge faith. Let's look at Brother Thomas' level of faith. It says that, but Thomas, one of the 12 disciples called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither in thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither in thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Here we can see that Brother Thomas is like, walk by faith of sight, or head faith, and not by the faith of heart. This gives some credence to Bishop Scott's point of view that head faith is based on senses and evidence, or our experiences. So let's continue. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Here we can see because Thomas had seen, he believed. He had head faith. But Jesus shows us that we are truly blessed when we have not seen but believe. This is heart faith. However, we must note that Jesus never forsaken Thomas despite his carnal mindset. See, just like all the things that are happening today, and I told the little joke there about the toilet paper and reacting. See, we're looking from our head faith. We're looking at things. We're entertaining things. We're letting our senses govern what happened. But truly, if we're walking in the heart faith, we know that God is in control of everything. We know that God will never leave us or forsake us. We know that God is always around. He's always aware. See, nothing that happens tomorrow doesn't get past God today. So God is aware of what's happening, and he's always going to make sure that his faith will not be forsaken. So let's take a look at what heart faith says in the scripture. In Hebrews 11:1-6, it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for in the future, the evidence of things not seen in the present, for by the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And God testified his gift, and by it he being dead speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarded of them that diligently seek him. So you see, we have a responsibility to do something, not just with our heart faith, but which we believe that he is, but some also must exercise a physical head faith by seeking God. We have to seek God. In this case, a collaboration of both our experience of seeking that which we want and that which we want and we want to find and who we're looking for, what you mean if, in regards to our heart faith, this helps us to be able to put these two together to work in harmony with each other. And the scripture tells us in John 10:10, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Now, we have to confess with our mouth that we believe in God, but we have to believe in our heart. And for most of us, our condition, our training through the course of our experiences or our reference of our history causes us to operate more out of the physical senses. But in reality, the heart is more relevant. Let me expand. See, the heart is so relevant that there was a science that I studied with during the course of my years in the military with a group of doctors who had kind of pulled from this institute called HeartMath Institute these views, which basically said that the heart is a second brain. And they, as they like to put it, the heart has its own intelligence. Now, this lines itself with God's view of the heart, where the real intelligence comes from. Excuse me, because the heart faith is so significant that it's mentioned in the Bible 826 times, and the brain is not. See, God recognized the heart. Everything is about the heart because we get caught up in the physical aspect, but everything that we see that is manifest physically came from the spiritual realm. And when we speak, we're speaking from our heart. But we have to learn to exercise it, or if you will, utilize it in a more intelligent way that we can maximize on the power. Remember, God said, I give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We need to be able to use that power so when we use our mind, we use it in a sound or a more appropriate or efficient way. So therefore, being like Thomas, we'll operate out of that head faith. Where we don't believe it unless we see it, which is oppositional to heart faith. And unfortunately, that could be the case. And we know that Thomas had walked with Jesus just like the rest of the disciples. He saw the miracle. So even if he was doubtful from his heart, he saw the miracles himself. Yet he still lacked that ability to get past his head knowledge because he was always referencing from his experiences or his life situations, and he stayed in that physical realm. But in order for us to really be able to evolve and grow to become what God wants us to be, we have to learn how to exercise our heart faith. So now the question we must ask ourselves in these moments of crisis and challenge that we face, what type of faith are we exercising? Are we exercising head faith, where we're using the central computer of our mind to feed our five senses of sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch, which we have the tendency from our mind to evaluate everything? This keeps us in that head faith. We can't move forward to be what God intended us to be because one of the things that happens, Satan is always trying to drop those lugs, if you will, into our mind, those diversions in our mind. As soon as we see something that doesn't line up with what we want, this is the case with Peter. When Jesus said, Peter said to Jesus, "Is that you, Lord? Beckon me to come out." And Peter went out. He went out in hard faith. He was walking on the water. Now, all the time he'd been a fisherman, I hadn't read anything that said he was walking on the water before. But Jesus called him out, and he operated for a moment in that heart faith. But as soon as he turned to the left and to the right and saw the waves moving around, he immediately shifted back into his head faith, and he lost faith. And see, this is what's happening with a lot of us. I go to the markets. I go to the markets, and people are gathering up all this toilet paper, which I don't get the logic of it. There are probably more essential things we need. But I was telling a friend of mine that here in America, which is inconvenient, we have so much that we don't even know how to prioritize because, again, we operate out of that head knowledge. So we're so focused on getting toilet paper and things that really not that significant. In other countries that I was in, they didn't even have toilet paper. They use a whole different approach to utilizing the restroom. But yet here in America, we have so much that we don't even be able to, we can't even seem to operate out of the basics. We lack even survival skills because we get caught up in the fear. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to operate from that acronym, false evidence that appears real. And again, back to what I said about that head faith, that evidence. But that's not real. The real thing that exists comes from the spiritual realm, where God poured everything and brought that into existence. When we look at a tree, we know that that tree had a seed, but it got down and that seed was dead. But it came alive when it got germinated down into the soil. Again, then it manifests itself outwardly later to be the big oak trees that we see. This is what our heart faith is supposed to be about. This is what we're supposed to move in, because that in itself will help us to be more victorious and operating in this physical realm and to help bring others, as I talked about a week ago, help bring others out of those negative perspectives of life so their journey don't be so hard. It's not such a struggle, because on this journey, we're going to have adversities. We're going to have crises. We're going to have these outbreaks, if you will. And throughout history, they've been happening all the time. I remember when I was back in my teen years, I was in college, they had the swine flu, and everybody was all out of control. Everybody was all nervous, and whatever they could do to try to resolve the issue, even some people died for some of the quick fixes they came up with. But had we been operating in faith, I didn't know much about it like that then, but had we been walking in that heart faith, we wouldn't have been moved, because this is where I'm at presently. My heart faith is not moved. Now, our head faith or our knowledge base does tell us to be concerned, to operate as a wise steward, and take appropriate measures to ensure that we don't compromise ourselves or our brothers. This is the same when he tells us, love thy neighbors, you love thyself. So those running out and being disregarding, they're operating out of a wise steward foundation. Therefore, they're just moving on that knowledge, saying, well, it's not going to happen to me, and it's not the same kind of faith. And God doesn't want us to operate that way. He wants us to ensure that we move in a way that we take care of ourselves and others. But that heart faith also moves because in the heart is where love comes from. And because everything should be based on love, therefore we can move. And love covers a multitude, not just sin, but everything. because this is what God looked at when he sent his only begotten son. He loved us first. He provided for us first. And he ensured that we'd be taken care of, that we would not have to lack for nothing, but we just have to operate out of that, if you will, that heart faith. I know that this is significant for us to be able to move forward and be victorious in God. Hallelujah. Let me just pull this back up here. So let's look at a scenario of heart faith here, another in the Word. And I love the Word because it always covers everything that's happening today. We just got to diligently seek in the Word. So in Mark 2, 1 through 12, it talked about the gentleman who was paralyzed. And it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such a large number that there was no room left, not even outside the door. He preached the word to them. Some men came bringing him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat the man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their heart, And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up, take your mat and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in view of all of them. This amazed everyone. They praised God, saying, we never seen anything like this. Now, did you catch this ending? They said, we never seen anything like this. Again, they were operating out of their head faith. They were looking at what they see. For we are so used to relying on our experiences and our mind, we seem to miss the big reality, and that everything comes from the spiritual realm first, then we have the outward physical manifestation. More often we heard, show me and I will accept it, while Jesus advises us to accept it first and he'll show us. Not many individuals depend or tap into their spiritual sense of their heart faith. We find it difficult to put stock in things that is undetectable. It takes the spiritual heart faith to believe and to pray and to trust in an invisible God. And yet we can't see the air, but we know it's providing for us. We can't see many things, but we know that it's providing for us. So we have to operate at the level of heart faith. We have to operate when he tells us, say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. This is how we have to continue to move. But we have the tendency to operate with doubting in our heart. So now, there are many reasons I would say why we're not spiritually mature at the level to walk in heart faith versus head faith. And here's a few. We need to develop an intimate relationship with God, where we can gain the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding, which would lead us to the ability of discernment. And with this discernment, you move much more smoothly in exercising your heart faith, because now you're not basing on your sight or your five senses, if you will, but you're basing it on the fact that you trust God's word. And then we must gain a working knowledge of his word and his will in order to develop that heart faith like Jesus had. Or we can continue to operate from the head knowledge faith like Brother Dalton Thomas had. And we can see that Jesus, again, he didn't leave Dalton Thomas hanging, but he was telling him, you got your reward because this is what you will operate under, or what you can see, what you can feel. Then next, we must attempt to avoid distractions that lead us into focusing more on our physical senses, that lead us to operate in head faith versus heart faith. See, many times we want everything to go according to plan. We want everything to operate in a way that nothing goes wrong. But I've lived long enough to know that every given day that you wake up, there will be challenges. But we know one cannot build spiritual muscle unless it's tested or pressure is placed upon it. So adversities will come, challenges will come, famine will come, plagues will come. But in every step of the way, God is always still there. And since he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, we can count on God to be with us as we go through these challenges. And God is the one, again, who gives man the ability to be able to at least, if you will, come up with it. We like to say cure, but come up with some of the resources that while God is healing, because the body always is healing every day. Well, while God is healing, and sometimes healing comes immediately, and sometimes it comes over time. In the meantime, God gives man the resources, now, quote unquote, head knowledge, to be able to at least sustain us until the full manifestation of the healing happens. As I mentioned before, I've been through the cancer thing, call it cancer survivors, people say, and God gave man the resources, the chemotherapy, the MRIs, and if you will, radiation therapy, to be able to at least assist as he does his thing. So again, I walked in with my heart faith that no matter what, as Paul said, whether I'm here in the physical or whether I'm with God, it's a win-win. Now, obviously, I like to live a long time, as Martin would say, but I truly believe that heart faith is what really gets you through the moments and what really gets you through being able to accept whatever's going on around you. I remember a time I was on a plane heading to Germany, and all of a sudden the engine went out. I was reading a book called Think and Grow Rich. And I was reading the part just in the area about faith. And I made a quality decision at that time. I said, if this plane crashed, and I hope that it didn't, but if this plane crashed and no one survived, I was going to walk off that plane as a survivor. Well, fortunate enough, we landed and everything worked out. And it wasn't that I was discounting because I was praying for everyone else too. But my faith was up there. As I watched people panic, get worked up, they even accommodated a few people to let them drink something. I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And again, this is where our head faith is at. But we got to get past that. We have to grow in this. And the great thing about it with God is that we do not have to have a whole lot of faith in our heart. He said if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move something bigger. He called it a mountain. So, yeah, we got a lot of things going on around us. We got a lot of mountains in front of us. We got a lot of tidal waves in front of us right now. But God has never left us or forsaken us. So we must hold on. We must hold on to what God's words say. We must not waver and trust in God, because God will not let us down. And in John 20:29, it says, blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. So the next thing we must consider, we must get to know the voice of God versus all these other voices that we entertain, TV, people talking on the news, if you will, some of the deliverance from the officials. I mean, we need to be able to discern what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. But never should we walk in that fear, because that fear defeats us. And again, he did not give us the spirit of fear. This is why he gave us this measure of faith, so we can know and be assured, as I like to say with my acronym about faith, we have full assurance in the heaven that God would not leave us or forsake. And in Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that yet you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind has been conformed to this world all your life, and now you have to be able to transform and renew your mind. So we have to get past these negativities that the world's presented to us, but continue to walk in that faith and trust God. Because again, Philippians 4:19 said, our God supply all our needs, including taking care of this virus and all these things that are happening, that he, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But next week, I want to share with you a few steps that we can take to truly walk in the heart faith versus the head faith. So I appreciate taking a moment. And for those of you, again, who have not accepted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, go in there, open up your Bibles, find a friend's Bible, look at Romans 10:9, and say, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And don't forget to check out Kingdom Builder Development, Kingdom Builder Plaza at gmail.com, so you can hear more of the episodes, if you will, the sessions that I'm presenting, and all the other presenters who are trying to get the word of God out, because he said we need to go into the world and let the world know about the good news of God. And be not afraid to do it, again, because he did not give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. As I close out, again, walk by faith and not by sight. Trust in God in all you do. You have a wonderful week. God bless.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are victorious.